so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 871 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Raddick, back with you for another great episode. I just like completely botched the intro for the first time in forever. I don't know. what can I say? You want to help out the show? The best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/dreadmedia. Get early episodes, exclusive podcasts, both of which are coming at them in the next 2 days. As I'm recording this, it is Thursday evening. I don't think I'm getting the episode out until tomorrow. But I'll also have a perk to go as well. So that's cool. It's cool, right? It's cool. All right. Yeah. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. Help support the show. Before even I get into what we're doing this week, I just wanted to take a moment to highlight some new work from some friends of the show. First of all, Indiegogo.com, Frenzy Moon, Greg Lamberson's new werewolf movie. Help him raise the funds for it. Head on over there to Indiegogo.com, search Frenzy Moon, and help out. So that's one. Number two, head on over to, I tried to share it in the Facebook group. But Facebook doesn't like the video. And you know what? Facebook's dumb because the video rules, and I'm talking about the video for High on Fires Cometh the Sword, directed and starring our friends over at Diabolic Films, Phil Mucci and Ian McKay. Another fucking triumph. The song rules. The video rules. The album rules. Look at next year's albums, or January's albums of the year episode or shit of the year episode, and you're damn sure you're gonna hear a song off of that album. I can pretty much guarantee it at this point. Good shit. All right. Yeah, and my third one I want to point out is People's Park by David Agronoff. This book rules. I was the first person to ever read it. I just got my copy in the mail. Thank you, David. It is a perfectly twisted sci-fi horror. I'm not going to do any specificity on the sort of sub-genres, but let's just say horror sci-fi, all centered around a park in Bloomington, Indiana, where all the freaks and the weirdos and the punks and the skateboarders hung out at. And it's just a really fantastic, fantastic book. So you guys need to read it. I think it's David Agronoff's best so far because I've read his next book. All right. But anyway, we can't talk about that. But we can talk about People's Park at your favorite bookseller. And if it's not there, tell him to bring it in. People's Park by David Agronoff. Ting. All right. Okay. That was part of a long intro. Let's get into what this episode's gonna be. So, I'm gonna come back after we play a song here with Tom, and we're gonna talk about the relatively recent film, Night Swim. And then I'm going to come back and I'm just going to shoot the shit a little bit on The Outsider from HBO. It's not a new show. A couple years back, I think. 2022, maybe. I don't know. It's based on the Stephen King novel. I'll come back and talk a little bit about that. And that's going to be the show. So let's get right to it. I'm going to play some new tunes and some old tunes. Some new tunes and an old tune. How about that? I'm actually going to play a couple songs this episode from albums that didn't get a lot of play, but were still good albums that were released last year. So we're going to start with one of those. We're going to play a song off, I don't know if it's the last album. I know that they're retiring from touring this year, but the early heavy metal band Cirith Ungol released an album last year called Dark Parade. And since we're about to jump into the pool with Night Swim, I thought I'd play the song by Cirith Ungol, Sacrifice. So we're going to listen to that, and then I'll come back and chit-chat later.
You take the sorrow through the lands of never.
Tom.
Yes. Des. It's Atomic Monster time.
It's Atomic Monster time once again.
And you know, we love Atomic Monster here.
Yeah.
Because first thing they came out with was Malignant, which is, I don't care what you people say, it is a fucking masterpiece.
I think that was my number four film of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they followed it up with Mithrigan.
Mithrigan, which was also on my end of the year list.
Which was a perfect baby's first horror movie.
Exactly, exactly. Now, let me say about that. That was actually a bad year for movies. That was 2022, right? So I will say it's a bad year for movies, but I enjoyed the hell out of Mithrigan.
Yes. And then this year, the gift we got from James Wan and Blumhouse Productions was Night Swim.
Yeah, Night Swim.
And it's good enough.
Right.
It's struggling with some interesting ideas, but doesn't know how to implement them.
Yes, I would agree with that. Should I do a quick synopsis here?
It's your turn, yes.
You've all seen this movie, whether you've seen Night Swim or not. Wyatt Russell, Ken and Goldie's boy, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Plays a baseball player with, is it multiple sclerosis? MS?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he has a recent diagnosis of MS. And so him and his wife and his two kids are looking
for
a new house. They're looking at sort of like assisted living facilities, and then he's kind of like, that's not my style kind of thing. But then they find this house with a pool in the backyard, and one of the things he's supposed to do is pool therapy or whatever, water therapy or whatever. So he's like, yeah, let's buy the house with the pool. And then they go to, you know, get the pool cleaned and filled. And the guy, the pool guy's like, yeah, this is like a natural spring pool. It'll fill on its own, you know, with natural spring water. And they're like, oh, man, that's crazy, right? So that's good. And then, of course, every member of the family has something supernaturally scary happen to them in the pool, but no one tells each other until it's far too late when there's a possession. Look, this movie is fucking Amityville Horror. You know, this movie is Deathbed, you know, Blood Car, you know, it's one of those movies, and it's about a haunted pool.
Yeah. And I do want to point out that my favorite character was Cider the cat.
Ah, yeah, poor Cider.
Who about 40 minutes in, says, fuck this shit, I'm out of here. And literally walks off the set and is never seen again. I like to think Cider was having this amazing side adventure.
It is implied that Cider's dead.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Justice for Cider.
Justice for Cider. I agree.
I think Cider goes off and she has this like amazing adventure fighting the demons in the wood.
Yeah.
In the woods.
Yeah.
And he comes out triumphant because you don't fuck with a cat.
Yeah. I just don't understand how no one in this family talks to each other about something fucking terrifying that happened in the pool.
Yeah.
Nobody talks to each other. Until it's far too late when we have the dad being possessed like you do in all of these movies. Someone has to get possessed and take ownership of the thing because someone has to come to their senses and say, we have to get rid of the thing. And then there has to be somebody that stops them from getting rid of the thing. This is a paint-by-numbers horror movie.
Although it's born on a nugget of an interesting idea, which is, I think what the director and writers were thinking they were doing, Bruce McGuire was the director, the screenplay was by Bryce McGuire, and was based on a short film he did in Michelle Branch's backyard.
Huh.
also called Night Swim. I love Michelle Branch. Wow. That was a good looking woman. The nugget that I think they thought they were doing was a folk horror film, but taking the folk horror into the suburbs.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a slight folk horror element to this, I think.
The concept is that the water is magical and it can give you something you truly wish for, but it has to, you have to sacrifice something you care about.
Yeah.
And the person who was in the case of the person who had the house before, it was her daughter. Mm-hmm. In this case, the water's trying to get the kid of the best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was confusing. That was confusing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, we're going to see this theme in another movie that we're going to talk about, but that movie, I think, did this kind of thing better. But it's always, again, it's always two kids. There's always one kid who's
a little boy and a teenage girl.
Yeah.
So
it's that configuration, or it's a young girl and a teenage girl. And if it's two boys, they're like both below 11, you know.
Right.
They're like younger, but this is the typical teenage girl, young boy. Young boy is slightly going through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always one that's going through it, you know, and he's the one that dad chooses to sacrifice, basically.
Yeah, it's always the younger child in these films that is
imperiled.
Special.
Yeah. Special and imperiled. Yeah, because he actually talks to the pool first, right? He's the first one? Other than, I guess, the pool draws the dad in.
Yeah. And then it draws Cider in, and Cider says, fuck that. And in my head, Ken says, fuck that, I'm going to have an adventure on my own.
Because, again, it's a haunted or malevolent, spirit-infested pool. How do you stop yourself from being killed in the pool? Well, don't go in the pool. It's the same argument for basically any of these movies. Don't get on the bed. What bed? The one that eats people.
You know, it says it right there in the title.
The bed that eats, damn it.
Yeah. This is fine.
Yeah.
And I think that our disappointment in it being just fine is amplified from the fact of the pedigree.
Yes, that's true. Also, I saw maybe just a teaser of this movie, and I think maybe I probably had a different idea of what this movie was going into it. Because this is also a bit like Baby's First Horror Movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, I don't know. It's very straightforward. You know, there's nothing like completely terrifying. It's just like, you know, shapes in the pool.
There's one blep scare. One blep scare. You know, when here I am minding my business, nothing is happening, and then the camera looks away for something, and then it comes back and blep.
Right. A jump scare, you mean?
No, a specific kind of jump scare.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is like, there's nothing there, look away, come back to the same shot, and there's this ugly monster.
Yeah, but the monsters just look, like, silly in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It looks like, I don't know, you see one, the guy in the pool in the background, but he just, I don't know, he looks like a Chuck E. Cheese character or something. Maybe not Chuck E. Cheese. Those are all animals. But you know what I mean? Like a cartoon, like a cartoon mascot or something.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not scary. Like the only sort of creature thing spirit that we saw that I thought was, you know, even sort of scary was when, you know, I mean, okay, so you have a haunted pool, so
right.
One of the things you have to do is have someone reach into the filter and get grabbed, yeah. Right? So mm-hmm. when the kid does that and that, you know, that ugly mottled hand grabs him,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I saw that coming. I'm 100,000 miles away, yeah. But
you right, know, right Bruce after Price that, Squire thought that was a blep scare,
right? But right after that, it cuts to looking into the filter, and then you just see the top of the head, like go down out of view. That I liked. That I liked. So they did have a couple little elements. Here's another problem with this movie, and where mm-hmm. I feel this movie didn't exploit its premise very well is during the pool party.
Right.
Right? So you've got this pool that kills people, and then you've got it completely filled with people.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody dies.
Including an asshole that they point out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they pointed out asshole, I'm like, he's going to get it.
Yeah.
You yeah. know, but no, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I think
two people almost drown in a thing yeah. that could very well be. And I mean, that's what they. So basically, I'll just explain the premise. They're doing, like shoulder fights or whatever. I don't even yeah. know. Is there a name for that? You know, sitting on people's shoulders in the pool.
No, not Indian wrestling.
No. It's like shoulder.
Oh, I guess now you would call it First Nations wrestling.
Right. So they're on each other's shoulders, and there's asshole guy has his kid on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Wyatt Russell, like, picks the neighborhood kid that's on his kid's baseball team, but is right. a really good athlete. And the kid's like, oh, awesome. You know, Ray Waller, you know, he's a yeah. great, great ball player or whatever. So he gets that kid on his shoulder. And then asshole guy, like, pushes them back in the pool to the point where, like, Wyatt Russell, who's underneath the kid, is slipping down into the deep end with the kid on his shoulders, and then he keeps slipping back to the point where the kid's on his shoulders and also under the water in the deep end, but Wyatt Russell's like just gripping his legs super yeah. super tightly that they can't get mm-hmm. out, which yeah okay, so they pass that away they pass over that as like, you know, that's he's got MS, he had like an involuntary muscle, blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
And then everyone leaves because, you know, the party's over at that point, and then
we don't want to hang out with the guy who almost drowned the kid,
right? But I honestly I just think that that's the point where they should have just gone for carnage,
yeah,
you know, and they absolutely didn't. And I think that would have been the place to do it. And otherwise, this movie just, I don't know, just became boring for me.
I will point out it did make money.
Sure.
It was budgeted at $15,000, made 54. $15 million, made 54. So it made its money back and then some.
Ugh, $15 million for this movie.
I'm amazed. Yeah. You could think you could give this to our buddy Greg, and he could do three films.
Greg could do like 30 films.
But he could do three yeah. really.
I'd love Greg Lamberson to have $1 million yeah. dollars to make a movie. Just a million. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to see that. And then you got this, you know, I mean, this is not a bad movie, but this is the most bog standard horror movie yeah. you've ever seen.
And coming from the pedigree it came from, it is a disappointment.
Yeah, this is definitely, on the lowest tier of their
oeuvre.
Yeah. Oeuvre.
Well, coming next is Mithrigan 2.
Right.
Which I still say should be Mithrigan. And yeah, you'll have a 2 there, but it'll look like an S. So it'll be Mithrigans. you know.
I think they should just change the A to a 4.
Okay.
Why not? You got a 3 in the first title. Now you got to put a 4 into the second.
But
and change the 3 and change the 3 to an E, so it's Megforn. Next one's Megforn.
And of course, we are still looking for money for our Mithrigan versus G.I. Joe script.
They have, I've seen it advertised now, a life size.
Is that not the creepiest thing in the world?
That has got to be the creepiest thing in the world.
I'm like,
I mean, not even if I had that money to throw away. Not even if I had that money to throw away, would I?
All I could think of is
all the creepy dudes that are going to have one. Yeah. Sorry, dudes, but you're creepy.
yeah, creepy. Yeah, no. Oh my god, that's just wrong. However, you know, when I was playing around with the idea of putting together a Universal Monsters fighting game,
right?
Since she was released by Universal, she counts.
Okay.
So we would have, like, Mithrigan versus the Bela Lugosi Dracula.
But all right.
This is a 2.5. This is just good enough. You're not going to hate it. And I think some of the hate that's coming from us is because we had higher expectations for this production company.
Yeah. I would rather watch Der Lift about the killer elevator.
Der Lift or The Lift? Which one?
The Lift 2, because that remake is fucking fun as hell.
Okay.
It might even be better.
Mm-hmm. Dick Moss,
yeah.
But you've
which,
already
which
done.
In okay. Spanish means more dick. Thank you.
Oh my god, I'll tell you anyway. so yeah, it's missable.
Yes, 100%.
You're not gonna hate it, but it's why?
Yeah, you can spend your time doing better stuff, even with this production company.
Mm-hmm. What's your star?
You got Atomic Monster. You've got it's the Atomic Monster, Blumhouse, and is there like another one that's?
No, it's Atomic Monster and Blumhouse.
Okay, right.
But my question is, what is your star rating?
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
2.5, so, meh. And Justice for Cider.
Justice for Cider. Under the production companies listed on IMDb, mm-hmm. there are Atomic Monster, Blumhouse mm-hmm. Productions,
mm-hmm.
Witchcraft Motion Picture Company, Universal Pictures,
mm-hmm.
and Government of New South Wales, Africa. Oh, sorry, Australia. Oh. Why did I say Africa? Australia. That's a whole different place. New South Wales, Africa.
I have in my mind, I want to do like a movie that's nothing but the logos.
Yeah.
And as the movie starts, the logos are still going. So like, as, we have people...
As I have been told, though,
yes.
When you put a movie on and you see a parade of production companies listed, mm-hmm. you know that they went through hell to get that movie made, right?
Yeah.
that you know that you're watching a movie that took a long and winding path.
So, Des, what are we leading out with?
We'll get out of here with something that you don't often see in a pool, and that is In Flames. With their song from, I guess, their now classic record, Clay Man. This is In Flames with Swim. I am back to talk a little bit about The Outsider. This is the HBO series based on the novel The Outsider by Stephen King. I guess this is a mini series, not a television series, but yeah. So I've only just watched it. It came out in 2020. I was wrong at the top of the show there. But I have no concept of time. So there is that. So I don't know if you've read the novel, but if you haven't, I'm going to do a bit of a quick synopsis. Basically, the show begins with the very public arrest of a baseball coach played by Jason Bateman, arrested for the murder of a child. And, like during his baseball, his team's baseball game. So there's that. And then, it comes to light that he has an alibi. He's a teacher. He went to a teaching conference and there's video of him, you know, sort of like asking a tough question at, to the person at the podium or whatever. And, that's also confounded by the fact that his blood and fingerprints are at the crime scene. So it's, it's a little bit puzzling, right? And so begins the mystery. I think it's the, you know, there is some really good combination of character creation and actors portraying them, particularly Ben Mendelsohn, who plays a detective whose own son, who's still like recovering from his son dying from cancer. I've already mentioned Jason Bateman. You know, he does his Jason Bateman thing. who else? Yeah, Julianne Nicholson. It's funny because I also just watched Dream Scenario. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about Dream Scenario after this. But she is incredible in that, and she's pretty damn good in this too. I'm trying to... Okay. Yeah, Bill Camp was good. Yeah, right. What's that guy's name? Yeah, Yul Vasquez. Who you may recognize as the gay Puerto Rican guy from Seinfeld. You know, the ones that steal the that steal the armoire. He also plays a detective in this one. But I like that guy. He's a great actor. I like that guy. Great character actor. It's definitely worth noting that, one of my favorite actors, Patty Considine, has, a role that turns out relatively pivotal. So that's cool. And also I have to shout out this show's, Holly Gibney, played by Cynthia Erivo, not sure how to pronounce, E-R-I-V-O. She plays Holly Gibney. She's a different Holly Gibney. I think perhaps an older Holly Gibney from the one in Mr. Mercedes. Anyway, I honestly can't remember a lot about the novel. I don't remember it making a great impression on me, but, I have to say I did enjoy this show for the most part. However, it is too long in the tooth. I think this is 10 episodes. This should have been 8 episodes. I think this would have been a pulse pounding, intriguing 8 episodes. Instead, it's a 10 episode show that gets lost in the middle for a little bit. And I feel like if we just tighten that up, man, you really, really have something powerful here. But, a really fantastic, look at grief and belief and all that stuff. Yeah, it's really well adapted, I think, except for, you know, what I said. It's a little long. It's a little long. But yeah, if you've got HBO or it's on Crave here in Canada, check out The Outsider. Let me know what you thought about it. Let me know what you thought about it. I think I said, I don't want to spoil it. I will say, okay, here's another problem I had with it. I just watched the final episode tonight. It is the most insanely stupid gunfight that I've ever seen in my life. Right? You got a guy with a sniper rifle. He's shooting at someone in your party who is running off to get into a truck to get to a place where they can get a phone signal. And so the guy with the sniper rifle shooting at him, you know, and like the guy goes and runs right after that Yul Vasquez guy says, you know what, they said on D-Day, and it's like, advance or die. And so the guy goes and runs. And then the other two cops just sit there behind the car while he runs for the truck. And the sniper guy is shooting at him. Why didn't they come around and start shooting at the guy? Cover him. Or, better yet, charge him. Advance on him and shoot him. Aye, fucking yay. That was the worst directed, worst composed action set piece that I've seen in a fucking long time. Anyway, other than that, the show is kind of enjoyable. See, now you want to watch all the way through. Now you want to watch all the way through to get to the, the last 20 minutes of the entire series, the last half hour maybe, of the entire series. Well, there you go. Okay, that's The Outsider. Yeah, and I mentioned, so I ended up getting, you know, my stepdaughter really wanted Paramount Plus, and guess what? I really wanted Paramount Plus too. So I got us an account, and, you know, I did it mainly because Star Trek Discovery is running. I don't know, maybe I should talk a little bit about Star Trek Discovery too, but, you know, but, Dream Scenario is there, streaming there for free. So, you know, after you pay for Paramount Plus. So I watched that. I was completely enthralled. I'm still putting my thoughts about it together. Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's a really good movie. Nick Cage is amazing. I mean, as always, but it's a truly bizarre story. And if you don't know what it is, it's, all of a sudden, like most of the people in the world start dreaming about the boring character of Nicolas Cage in this movie. He's a physics professor. Yeah, so people just start dreaming about him, and he suddenly becomes like ultra famous, right? And then, well, what happens if things start happening in those dreams? What are people going to think of him, right? So it is a fantastic setup, and it's a really well written and extremely well acted film, and I'm still wrapping my head around it. So my Letterboxd score is a 4 stars out of 5, just because, I can't say 5. Maybe it's a 4.5. I'm not even sure. I think it's a 4. Just cause I still haven't completely wrapped my head around it. It might be something I have to watch again. And I don't do that very often at all anymore because there's too much new shit to watch, or old shit that I haven't watched in a long time, you know? That counts too. Star Trek Discovery. I'm a little upset about this season so far. I'm 5 episodes in as you hear this. I guess there's a 6th episode, I think, that came out yesterday. I haven't watched it yet. I will, probably, Maybe I'll just go right to bed after I finish this. But maybe I'll go upstairs and pour myself a bourbon and watch the latest Star Trek Discovery. But and look, and I know it's sort of a divisive show amongst Star Trek fans. I gotta say, I think the first two seasons are some of the best Star Trek I've ever seen. I can appreciate what they did with seasons 3 and 4. I don't enjoy it as much. I feel like it's an unnecessary move when they were already at a very important place in history to explore the universe. And by the universe, I mean the Star Trek universe. As well as the universe, I guess, you know. But, yeah, so here we are. And season 5, there's a whole bunch of new, like, recruits on the bridge. And, like, all the other bridge crew have, like, you know, from the past 4 seasons, have much less screen time and, like, almost no dialogue. It's very weird. And the show is just crawling with book. I'm sorry. That guy is the most boring human being on Earth. The worst character. Can't stand him. What is he doing in this show? He's awful. Awful. I love Burnham, you know? I think she's great. I think she's a great captain. I like her. I find her very compelling. I just get very tired of her running around with her, I don't know, mysterious cargo ship driving boyfriend. Ugh. Ridiculous. Anyway, I hope this season pulls itself out of a nosedive, because it's not impressing me very much. Okay. There you go. There's a nice long segment about some TV, and some movies. Movie, I guess. Yeah. All right. I'll have to remember the things I talked about. Anyway, I do remember this started out as a sort of a postmortem on The Outsiders. Let's get out of this segment with, a song, from an album called Outsider that came out last year, by Night Demon. And this is that title track. This is Outsider by Night Demon. Outsider!
Now
And that is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. Kind of a casual one, talking about some shit that I saw, you know, reviewing a movie. I didn't want to do another Dread Media top five, like, killer things, you know, again. I may have done it twice. But yeah, so there you go. There you go. I only decided what I was going to do on this episode, like, tonight. And that's it. Tell you what, we're out of here. You want to let me know what you thought? Dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. You can also send voice memos there if you want me to play them on the show. Join the Facebook group. It's Dread Media on Facebook. You can follow me on all the things. Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky is Dread Media. Desmond Reddick on Facebook if you want to friend me. You know, if you're a podcast listener, I'll be your friend. Check out DJ's Domicile of Dread.blogspot.com, which was hard for me to say tonight. I ended up grabbing that bourbon before sitting down to watch Star Trek, so. Cheers. Yeah, let's get out of here. One more new song. This is a brand new song. This is from their brand new album called It Beckons Us All. Dark Throne is my favorite of the OG black metal guys. And you know what? What's happening recently is just the guys are getting together and playing some old dad blackened doom. And chills this old dad's heart. So let's play one of those songs. This is like their first single from the record. It's called The Bird People of Nordland by Dark Throne. And we'll see you guys next week. We'll be right back.
Gave a sanctuary on a golden shore.